let me just explain about quite what I mean by vision. Basically, once a year in November, we take all the PCC of the church and everybody else who's in leadership away for a day, and we look at at church life, and we end up the day coming out with what we feel is the emphasis that God is putting on our hearts for the following year. And we call that our vision for the year. And there's this document, so this was Vision 2017, and on the front page it states the vision. In there is the long-term mission plan. So that the mission plan is actually our long-term view of what we want to, what we believe God is saying to us about what we do. And then for the particular emphasis for the year is expressed on here. Now, normally I would have these ready for you today to take away, have a look at, pray about, etc. But our printer's conked out, so we couldn't do it. But we've got a new printer ordered, right? So next week we should have these available for you to take away. So in 2015, there was one word that we felt was the main word for that year, and the word was encouragement. And that word has continued to be very important in the life of the church. And our vision for each year isn't something new. It always builds on what went before. And so encouragement is still a very, very important word for us. And then the 2016, again, it was one word that came out of our thinking, talking, praying. And that word was passion. And that was a very important word in 2016. We saw a lot of things develop our way of passion for God and in our worship, etc. And that too continues to be an important word. Now last year, led by Ali and what Ali was bringing to us to do with Pioneer Ministry, the vision is expressed. So that's how we expressed it, that we should stop, listen to God and others in the community, each other in the community, get ready, allow God to challenge us in new ways, go be prepared to step out in faith. And the whole essence of that was that we wanted to be thinking about and exploring new ways of going out into the community. So we've done a lot of thinking about it and praying about it, etc. And we've done some listening. And certain things have happened during the year. We're actually doing much more in here in the school than we used to. Work with the homeless has developed considerably, including the Home Interaction Project, where we are quite close to buying a house to house homeless people. Work with the Gleneagles Community Action Group has progressed, and our involvement at the social club has gone up. We're running a mutual support group that's just started. Another thing we did was we did carol singing with a difference, where we went out and instead of asking people for money, we gave away goodie bags. And the goodie bags also contain some literature about Jesus, about what Christmas really means, and also information about the church. So people were delighted when they found we were giving things away rather than asking them for money. And so those are little things, quite big things really in some ways, that happened last year with respect to this. Now this too continues. And this year, as we spoke about the life of the church, how it was going, we felt we wanted to kind of continue along this line, but also narrow down our focus slightly. And we came out with, by the end of the day, that it should be all about building relationships, right? And we should focus on our energies and etc. on building relationships, and we should do that in church and also in our community. And we thought of three particular sort of emphases in terms of ways that we do it. One is leaders inspiring others. The role of leaders is very, very important in church life. You may have heard me say we have 38 different areas of ministry in the church, and each one needs a leader. So we need that many leaders. We're always looking for people to take the lead in different ways So this perseverance, not giving up, is so easy to give up on trying to build relationships, particularly in our community, you know, people who you don't know. And then thirdly, listening. And it's so important, listening to God to develop intimacy. And that's so important. And Rob said something about that this morning at the beginning of worship. It's about focusing on God, listening to God, because he's the one who helps us and shows us how to build these relationships. And then listening to people as we develop friendships. So that's where we're at. There is a sermon series coming up where Ali's going to do next week a thing about pioneer ministry, and then in the next couple of months we've got four sermons looking at developing relationships, you know, reaching our community, moving out, etc., etc. So that takes us further. This morning, what I want to do is just look at building relationships. What I'm mainly going to look at is building relationships with strangers, you know, with people outside of our church community. Jesus met the Samaritan woman, and a lot of what I'm going to say obviously is going to be taken from that, because this is an encounter that Jesus has with a total stranger. Okay, and there's a number of principles, etc., we can get out of that story. So if you have that page open in your Bible, it will be very helpful. Page 1067. I've got that slide up because the gospel is actually all about friendship. You know, no matter how amazing the preaching is and the worship is and anything else is in church, if in our church lives we're not making friends, we're missing the gospel. We're missing the essence of the gospel. The gospel is about love. You know, Jesus says, love one another. He encourages the disciples, and there's a little picture of it, to love one another and care for one another. The New Testament is full of one another's, you know, love one another, forgive one another, carry one another's burdens, etc., etc. Encouraging us to be friends. So that's very, very important in the church, but also, of course, it's very important outside of the church. And we need to be building authentic relationships, authentic friendships. And the thing I want to emphasize from that is that we want to make friends with people even if they're not showing any signs of being open to the gospel. You know, we want to make friends with them because they can learn from us just by being friends. So before I move on, before we get on to Jesus and the Samaritan woman, let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you show us the way to make friends. Thank you, Jesus, that you are desperate for us to love one another. You are so keen to see us as Christians living in unity, and then showing your love by the love we have in us. Lord Jesus, come and inspire us, motivate us to make new friendships, to build new relationships. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look then at Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And so this story is actually quite strange, but most of Jesus is, you know, when Jesus meets people, tends to be full of surprises. And this one is no exception. So he comes along, and he's really tired. You know, he's absolutely spent. And he sits down, and this woman comes along, and she's a Samaritan, and she's going to draw water from the well. So Jesus is so tired that he doesn't say to her, "Excuse me, can I borrow your bucket, please?" He doesn't say that. He says, can you get me a drink, please? And she's like startled. She's actually startled because this is a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we're on our own, and not only am I a Samaritan, and we are total enemies, they hate us, they believe we're heretics, but I'm a woman as well. Her reaction is to say, how can you ask me for a drink, you know? Then that leads to this conversation. In the conversation, Jesus starts speaking to her about living water, and he starts sort of stimulating her spiritual awareness. And then she responds to that. You know, she doesn't like change the subject or whatever, but she responds to that. And then she asks him a question, a spiritual question about where are we supposed to worship? And then Jesus starts giving her some real deep spiritual truth. And he says, it's not to do with where you worship. It's about worshiping in spirit and in truth. And she's beginning to have her eyes really open now. And she recognizes that this guy is someone special. And then Jesus tells her, I am the Messiah. And he uses those words, I am. And by now she's convinced about Jesus. Something in her is telling her, this guy is the real deal. And what's in her is the Holy Spirit showing her. And then she's transformed. Now this is a woman who's very, very hurt because she's been through 5 marriages. And now she's on a 6th one, and we don't know why, but they're not married. Maybe he wasn't about to marry her because she's had 5 husbands. So she's probably quite looked down upon in her own society. It's likely that she came to the well at noon when the sun's at its hottest because she didn't want to come when other people would be there. You know, that's possible, quite a strong possibility. So Jesus speaks into her heart, etc., and he reveals and he knows stuff about her. And nonetheless, he accepts her, and she's just blown away because he accepts her. Now, there's a whole ton of principles that I get out of all of that, so we're going to work our way through them, okay? Under 3 main headings, okay? And the first heading is vulnerability. There's a lady called Brené Brown. I'm not sure how you say her name, maybe it's Brené Brown. She's a lecturer in Houston University, and she has quite a famous talk that she does on the internet about the power of vulnerability. And it's one of her quotes, what makes you vulnerable makes you beautiful. And another quote is coming up. Will it move? No? Can it move with those buttons, huh? She has another quote, which I'll quote in a minute. Hopefully, but it's how it's vulnerability is at the core, the heart, the center of meaningful human experiences. Now, I know I shouldn't really correct a lecturer at Houston University, but I've made a slight change to that, which would come up if it's only work. Never mind. Vulnerability is at the core, the heart, the center of meaningful human relationships. Vulnerability is at the core of heart. Because meaningful relationships is about making ourselves vulnerable to other people. You know, one of the big problems with me and my colleague is people outside the church tend to think, oh, he's got it really together, he must be a really holy person. You're no different, I know. They think, oh, he must be like, you know, higher than us. Or that's what he thinks. So they think, I think, I'm higher than them because I'm so. And I have to make myself vulnerable, right? So I have to take the collar off sometimes and just demonstrate that actually I'm just a very normal guy, you know. Vulnerability is terribly important. So the first thing is Jesus, if only this would work, it would be so good. Jesus is tired and he's probably reluctant. He's probably thinking, I know you felt that and I felt that. You know, there's somebody who wants your attention and you're tired. The last thing you want to do is get into a conversation, right? But Jesus gets over tiredness, and we have to get over our tiredness or whatever makes us reluctant. We can feel weak, we can feel fearful, we can feel inadequate, we can be reluctant to speak to someone. You know, we're sitting in a train and we've got like 3 hours on the train sat opposite this person and we just can't be bothered to talk to them, you know? We need to get over that reluctance and that feeling of weakness and that feeling of being vulnerable. Then Jesus was in a strange place. Now we tend to avoid strange places like Glen Eagles Social Club. Now Glen Eagles Social Club, I like it there myself. They watch football. We need to be prepared to go to places where we feel vulnerable. Now, you know, it's not just us Christians, because wearing my committee hat, because I'm on a committee at Glen Eagles Social Club, we there struggle to get lots of the community in, because lots of the community feel it's a strange, difficult, threatening place. Okay? We need to be going in there. We need to be going into strange places. But Jesus actually spoke to a stranger, and he started up a new friendship. Now, we have access to many strangers, you know. Our neighbors, for example. How many of us, our neighbors, are actually strangers to us? Jesus actually asked for help, and this is making himself vulnerable. He's not, hey, I'm a Jew, you're just a measly Samaritan, I don't need your help, you know? But he asked her for help, and we need not to be the self-sufficient ones, the ones who've got it all sorted, but we actually need their ideas, their help, etc. And Jesus broke down the walls of cultural division and barriers. Obviously, the barriers between Jew and Samaritan were very, very big. But here, there are barriers between non-Christians and Christians, aren't there? And there's the way they live, the way others live, the way others think, etc., etc. We feel culturally separated. And we need to break down those barriers. We need to stop thinking of us and them. And it's so easy to do that, isn't it? And it's so damaging. Then Jesus made himself openly vulnerable. Because to this woman, he would have come across as like a poor beggar asking for water, and quite a humiliating thing that he was asking her for help. He also makes himself vulnerable just by talking to her, because when the disciples come back, they're like, whoa, what is he doing? And we can make ourselves very open to being criticized by others by the things we do, but we need to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. I actually like telling my story of how I became a Christian, because that makes me a touch vulnerable. I was on a training course on Friday, and it turned out that there was a woman there who had a big thing, a very big thing, about drink driving. So I did not tell her that I was done for drink driving one time. Did you know that? Yeah. Now, yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. It was a long time ago. And it was when I was, and you know, when I tell this story, Jean tells Melvin, don't tell that story with a big smile on your face. I said, yeah, okay. It was a long time ago, and I'm not proud of it at all. But I don't mind telling the story because it makes me normal, kind of, you know? But it makes me, you know, he's not such a, you know. It just helps me to say, hey, look, I'm just like you. So we have to make ourselves vulnerable. Vulnerability is power. Okay, then the second section. They all came up. Thank you, Maria. That's brilliant. Yeah. So the section, that's just to remind you, vulnerability is the core art center of meaningful human relationships. Then the second section comes under the heading of attentive and caring, listening and observing. And that's what we have to do. You know, listening has been a big word, isn't it, for a while now. Ali, you know, emphasizes that in terms of when we go to the community. And it kind of changes our thinking from we're going there to tell them to we're going there to listen to them. So Jesus listened to the woman throughout their conversation, noticing everything about her, getting to know her. Right, so we have to listen first. For example, you see, we're doing quite a lot of work with homeless people. Is the homeless person who I go to and maybe give some food to, is that person ready to hear me tell them about Jesus just yet? You know, maybe, possibly, but possibly not. And I have to listen to that person first. And then secondly, and so very importantly, Jesus attentively listened to God. Because that's the only way we know whether it's right to talk to people about Jesus yet. And that's also the way we know who we should talk to. And God gives a little nudge and saying, oh, talk to that person, you know. You go, oh, heck, do I have to? All right. Yeah. We have to listen to God. And Jesus attentively listened to God. And the Holy Spirit guided his words. So Jesus knew that this woman had had five husbands and now was with a sixth man who she had married. Now, you might feel, well, God's never actually spoken to me like that and given me such a lot of information. And I think it's probably true to say God's never spoken to me in quite such a lot of detail, but he has spoken to me lots when I'm with someone. Just recently, I was with a young man who's a Catholic, and he's a very strong Catholic. I admire this guy a lot. You know, he's got a lot going for him. And as I was chatting to him, I felt a nudge from God to ask him, have you ever thought of becoming a priest? And he was like, whoa. And then I said, do you know what? It seems to me that you have a strong desire to do stuff. You have a strong desire. You know, your faith is leading you that you want to do something. And you're feeling, it's kind of like unrequited. You know, you're feeling like, I'm not sure what to do, but I'm sure I should be doing something. And maybe you need to be thinking about becoming a priest. And he said, that's amazing. He says, that's exactly how I feel. I thought, oh, great. You know, that must be God. And that's how it happens. You know, God just gives us a little nudge as we're talking to people. And we're able to say things that can explode into their lives, yeah? Because it's God speaking. Okay, so then, because he was listening to God, Jesus did not judge her. Jesus did not judge her. But we think we're listening to God when we see someone behaving badly. You know, those people at the club who get drunk and disorderly and noisy football fans, they're like Melvin, and swearing and smoking and behaving badly. That's not like Melvin. And we think, oh, I should go down there and sort them out, you know, tell them how they should behave. But God doesn't judge them. Just accept them. And if they swear, oh, that's the way they speak, fine. And just help them to see Jesus. Let Jesus make the changes for them. We need to see what God sees in them, and love them, and not judge them. Then Jesus did not condemn this woman or criticize her. Instead, he was listening, and he was seeing the hurt inside, and he was understanding, and he was recognizing what was important for her. He didn't tell her she was in the wrong. In fact, Jesus never tells anybody they're in the wrong except for the Pharisees. And do you know why he tells them they're in the wrong? Because they tell everybody they're in the wrong. It's That's the only thing he tells, you know. Other than that, he doesn't tell people they're in the wrong. He helps them to figure it out. And he wants them to change, of course, but he helps them to figure it out. And we can just not condemn people, not criticize them, and help them to get to know about Jesus, etc. And then Jesus accepted her just as she was. And we know for a while that's what he does with us, and that's what we should do with other people. Accept them just as they are. And finally, Jesus responded to what his Father said and revealed. And that's what we need to do. You know, we need to be close to God, close enough to God, so that we know what God would have us share. In this situation, Jesus does get on to spiritual things with this woman. But he got on to those spiritual things because he was closely in tune with the Father. And the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was speaking to Jesus, because that's how it works with all of us. And that's how it worked for Jesus as well, even though he was God. And Jesus then knows that it's right to start sharing these spiritual things, stimulated her spiritual ways, and then she started to ask spiritual questions herself. Okay, so that's the second section. Third then, vision for what the other person can be. Now, this is so very important, and this can help us to stop judging and condemning people. I'm so glad that when I went to Australia in 1979, having been done for drinking and driving, and having had a pretty wild, you know, life beforehand, that my cousins, who I went to live with, accepted me just as I was, even though they were all Christians, you know? And they accepted me into their church when I went along there, and they put up with all my arguing and, you know, telling them they didn't really know what they were talking about, but they just loved me, because they had a vision for what I could become, and I ended up becoming a Christian. So Jesus, because he could see what she could become, he offers her his help. And then, as I mentioned, he stimulated her spiritual awareness. And then he answers her spiritual inquiry when she asks about who is right, the Jews who worship in Jerusalem or the Samaritans who worship on this mountain. And Jesus says in verse 23, true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they're the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. You know, when we build relationships with people, the Holy Spirit can speak through us into their lives, even if we don't bring up the subject. You know, even if we're not directly speaking about things of God, as we build relationships with people, they just know. I had the experience some years ago where someone working with June called her and said, I must come and talk to you, must come and talk to you. And she said, why? And she said, well, I know you're a Christian, I must, you know. And she came and she brought her partner, and cut a long story short, they ended up both becoming Christians. And in fact, while they were with us talking about, you know, having just become Christians, she looked at him and said, we need to get married. And I thought, that's an interesting way to propose, you know. But that was all because the lady called Lynn knew June. They'd never had a spiritual conversation, but she just knew she was Christian. And the same things will happen for us. Okay, Jesus offered her what she actually needed, which was understanding, forgiveness, and then he spoke to her about the water of life, and freedom, and acceptance, and appreciation, an affirmation. She will have been stunned that Jesus even spoke to her. And then she would have been amazed when he asked her for help. And then really surprised when they got into conversation. And then discussion. And then this spiritual discussion that they had. And then, you know, she would realize that this was someone really special. We can offer to people what they need and they'll be surprised. We don't offer them just what we want to give them. Jesus made himself known to her then, and that verse 26, literally, the literal translation is, I am speech to you. You know, when she says, when the Messiah comes, he'll explain everything, he says, I am speech to you, which is a declaration that he is indeed the Messiah. And then Jesus gave her a transforming new life. She received from Jesus new life. Her heart was opened. She heard God speak to her in her encounter with Jesus. And we can know, we can have vision for people that their lives can be transformed. No one would have predicted that she could have changed in that way. No one could have predicted that I would have changed in the way that I changed. But Jesus had vision for her. And Jesus can open the hearts of anyone. Even the most unlikely characters, the most stubborn ones, the most despised of society, like this woman, the least respected. So you can and you will speak to our neighbours, to us, and our friends, and our work colleagues, and our window cleaners, and whoever we come into contact with as we build relationships with them. So it's all been about building relationships with outsiders, with others, but also we do need to build relationships with each other. Jesus said, my food is to, at the end of that passage, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What's your food? What's your food? Jesus' food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. And he says in verse 35, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. You know, there's so many people out there who actually have spiritual hunger. And finally, just to inspire you, did you know that in the Bible there are a few stories about wells, and they tend to involve strong relationships of love, you know? Well, there's this one. There's the story of Isaac's wife who was found at a well. Jacob and Rachel met at a well. Moses and Zipporah met at a well. Where is it we live? Yeah, we live in Wellingborough. We're surrounded by wells. Great World School. Let that be an inspiration that God will work as we go out to people who we haven't met yet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your example. It's so good just to look at an episode in your life and to consider what we have to learn from it. Lord Jesus, inspire us, motivate us, move us to follow your example, and thank you that you equip us with the power of your Spirit, and that as we go out and make new friendships, you will speak through your Holy Spirit through us. Thank you in your name, Jesus.